Thank you. Welcome everyone to week two of Warrior Goddess Leadership Training Level 1. And today our focus is on true work and what that means and why that's important for you as a facilitator and a leader. And before we start, let's take a moment and check in with what did you notice over this last week around this idea of being in leadership, holding hands with your fear, as well as holding hands with your excitement. So go ahead and share in the chat. If anybody wants to raise your hand and share, you're welcome to do that as well. Or I can randomly grab you. So go ahead and put us on gallery view for a moment, just so we can say hi to everybody. All of our different leaders in training. Hello. You're able to turn on your video. Hey, Bo. Hi, Carol. People's popping in. Awesome. Yay. Then do that. That's great. Beautiful. So Susan wrote, the fear definitely lost strength. Yeah. So often when we name it, it's not as intense, right? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Good. What else? What'd you notice? All my strategies came up. Fantasy books and food. So you started witnessing more the strategies coming up. Good to know as well, right? Good. What else? One more share. Nikki, I found myself discussing this topic with friends, family, and coworkers. So I'm more present with witnessing my fear versus excitement. Yeah, great. And it's going to be this constant balance of naming the fears, not to give them more power, but to actually take power away from them and to honor them and to be in that relationship with just being vulnerable and letting yourself be excited as well. So we can go back to the speaker review. So it's important that with this idea of fear, if you're not owning your fears when you're in relationship to yourself and then in relationship to other humans, what happens is you create a little bit of an armoring and a shield so that people have a sense of like, what's there, something that's not there. They can't quite. Yeah, exactly. You put boundaries. And it's subtle. It can be subtle. It can be just a slight energetic disconnect that people don't understand. And you want to be as available as possible to yourself, to your own intuition and instinct and inspiration, and also available to the people that you're working with, you know, that you are mentoring or loving or connecting with, that you're also available because you're naming what your fears are for yourself. You don't necessarily need to bring your fears to other people. Okay. And this is something that we'll be talking about as well, is where are the places to be vulnerable that help to strengthen a container, and where are places that being vulnerable actually breaks the container. Okay. So that's what we're going to be focusing on next week, is this idea of how to hold a container. This week, we're grounding deeper into your work with yourself around this idea of claiming your true work. Okay. So Crystal writes, yes, noticing how as fear is named, it diminishes and synchronicities increase. Feels like the path clears for support from the universe. Yes, that is definitely true as well. We become more available when we are honest with ourselves around what we're afraid of, because that opens the space then for new information and insights to come in. Fear often creates barriers. Okay. And it's not the fear itself, it's our resistance to the fear or our pushing down of the fear. Fear is just energy. It's just energy. So if you don't feed the energy and you notice the energy, then it's more integrated into your life. And may you always have, as you travel, some places of fear. Right? Why would I wish that on you? Because what does it mean? Yeah, exactly. You're at your growing edge. If you never are afraid, that means that you've created a little bubble of safety and that you're not growing. Now, we also don't want to live lives where we're constantly afraid and throwing ourselves over the edge. There's a balance of, there's going to be places where you have fear and you're stretching and you're growing, and then you want to rest and integrate and have that sense of safety, that sense of comfort, okay? Comfort, discomfort. Yeah, and definitely, Cherie, there are definitely different types of fear. What we're talking about mostly is mental fear, right? Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is comforting to realize that we can be at our growing edge, which doesn't mean we're not afraid. There's going to be fear sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, opening to be in relationship with our fear. And some of you may have noticed that that you're withholding your own excitement. That the excitement comes up and then there's the wobble of, but I'm not allowed to be excited because it's not going to work, or I'm getting egotistical, or I'm going to have my bubble burst, or I'm going to get hurt. Okay, so there is also that importance of being in relationship to what you feel excited and passionate about, and the capacity to feed that, to let yourself dream and vision into possibilities. Really important. Where do you stop yourself? Where do you make yourself smaller? Where do you negate and put in buts or shoulds or ifs? That also needs to be cleansed, so that there can be that channel of visioning and listening and opening to what's next, what's possible, what you're yearning, craving, dreaming of. Okay, so more excitement as well. Giving yourself permission to have that excitement. So this idea of true work is from my book, Awaken Your Inner Fire. And I recommend that book for everyone who's working on leadership, of embodying leadership, because that book is very much about how we manage our energy and how to be good leaders to ourselves, is a lot of what that book is about. And one of the chapters in it is about this idea of our true work, that we often have things backwards, where we say, when I do all these things on my to-do list, then I'll get to my spiritual path, or then I'll do my healing, or then I will like myself. So we create these lists of all these things to do. And this, you know, we see this in our society, like I will work and then when I retire, I'll enjoy my life. Okay, super backwards, right? So to recognize we get to enjoy our life now and get out of there's all these things to do, and understand the lists never end. And this idea of your purpose, we often have backwards as well, that we think our purpose is a specific thing, a specific action, a specific job. That I've talk to so many people that feel negatively about themselves because they feel like they're not either not living their purpose or they don't know what their purpose is. And we create a lot of harm towards ourselves with this idea of I should know what my purpose is and I should be living it, because then it's put outside of self. So as I dreamt into this and really looked at what the truth is in our relationship with life, it's where I came up with this idea of true work. that your true work is not anything specific that you're doing. It's something that you're learning to stabilize in your being through everything that you're doing. Okay, I'm going to say that again. So it's not something that you're doing. It's something that you're learning to stabilize inside of yourself through everything that you're doing. It's not a one thing. It's a quality that you're bringing into everything that you're doing. And it's a quality that you're learning. So it's not the quality that you're like, oh yeah, I can do that. Your true work, the reason that it is work is because you're figuring out how to embody it, how to take it out of a concept, how to take it out of thought and into deep experience in everything that you're doing. And when we live from this place of true work, everything in our life starts to shift because suddenly everything in life is part of helping us embody our true work. Whether it's leading a big organization or a class with lots and lots of people in it, or whether it's cleaning your toilet. No different. This is what new leadership, and I think this is old leadership. You know, we have a model of leadership that's about power over and importance, and that there's a way to lead, which is often really about control. And the type of leadership that warrior goddess embodiment leads us to is understanding that everything that we're doing is a form of leadership when we're doing it with mindfulness and presence and linking it back to our true work. Because that energy of us being and embodying goes out into the world much more and more powerfully, we can say, than fixing, controlling, doing from a disconnected or a head space. So there's a big rewire that we get to do through learning about leadership that is not, you know, be prepared on this journey of stepping more and more into leadership of the traps that will show up. And those traps will be, you have to be perfect. There's a right way to do it. People have to see you as important. You have to look like that other person there. The places that we then compare, that we make ourselves wrong, that we criticize, that we control. The being in leadership is like sandpaper. If you do it right, it's going to sandpaper all the rough edges off, and you're going to start to see where the rough edges of beliefs that are not true, that somebody made up along the way and that you believed at some point, okay? Or that you made up. We're also really great at making up things too, right? So in the old form of power over leadership, what is, when you think about it, when you feel into it, what's the belief of what the work is as a leader in the old model of power over? What does it mean to be a leader in that case? What's the work as a leader? Go ahead and share in the chat or raise your hand. Yeah, telling people what to do and how to do it. Exactly. Yeah. Control. Know all and control. Yeah, that you know everything there is to know and that you're the one that's going to purvey, give that information to the ones that don't know. Yeah, being in charge. Mm-hmm. Having power over. Isn't this a great mug? Being perfect. Exactly. Being perfect. Being right. Mm-hmm. My way is the only way. Exactly. Knowing all the right answers. Yeah. And how does that feel when you feel into that? When you feel into that, I have to be in control. I have to be perfect. I have to always be right. I have to use the perfect words. I'm completely responsible. I have status. If I'm, yeah, feels restrictive, small, unsustainable, exactly, constricting, rigid, yeah, stressful, exactly, yucky. Yeah, let's not do that. Let's not do that. And you're going to see yourself going towards that, because that meme, that energy is very strong. You know, I don't know if any of you have had this experience, but I've talked to a lot of people that get married and like they have a great relationship and then they get married and the relationship goes to hell. And they're like, what happened? And they realized what happened is they had, there's a whole energetic of what it means to be a wife. And that people that are wild and dedicated to self and on their path suddenly find themselves wifing without realizing it, right? And this idea, and it's because the energy, the memes of different qualities are really strong. And it's easy to start to fall into them. Mother is another excellent one, right? There's a role and we fall into the role. Yeah, exactly. Blah. Okay. Pushing a boulder uphill. I love that. So we have to understand it's the same thing with leadership. There's nothing wrong with leadership inherently. And there's a huge energetic that we've been taught and reflected, that we've been modeled of what leadership is. And it's interesting when we start doing leadership stuff, because that energetic can start to come in the role. We start taking on the role instead of being ourselves. Okay. So we just have to be super aware. That's why I always start with grab your fear and grab your excitement. And in the middle of that, be your true work. That's what the remedy is of stepping out of the old modes of leadership and just understand it's going to show up sometimes. That's why you have each other. This is really also critical to being a leader, is you need peers. You need peers to check in with, to have friendships with, to have insight to each other, to be vulnerable with, to ask questions, to get reflection. Okay. You need peers. It's not optional. Not optional. You need peers. You need mentors and you need peers. Yeah, exactly. With similar understanding of leadership. Exactly. Exactly. So this cohort, this particular leadership circle are your peers, and you may have other peers outside as well. And we want to make sure that you develop friendships and relationships within this group and outside with the other facilitators. There are over 500 Warrior Goddess facilitators that have been trained at this point. So you got a posse of women, okay? So here in this particular cohort, but there's also a larger circle of women that have gone through this training. So you can befriend and have that peer support and lean into it. So we're going to be doing breakout groups throughout our time together, so you get to know each other more intimately. And I really want to encourage you to reach out to each other. Being a leader is not about doing it on your own. It's about being part of a community of beings that are doing it differently. Okay. And being reminded and not being judged if you slip up, or if you make a mistake, or if you get confused, of just being like, yep, okay, let's try again, and getting that support and that witnessing. Mm-hmm. Sharia, I always find I'm more of a leader when not trying to be a leader, just being me. Yep, exactly. Just be, that's really what we're striving towards, that authenticity, to be authentic, to be ourselves. And there's more to it. And next week, we're gonna do a whole piece around the container, which is a skill set that is incredibly helpful as a leader. Okay, so authenticity is a big piece of it, but there's also some skills that I'm going to teach you that will help tremendously. Mm-hmm. Julie, difficult to break others' perspective of who you should be as a leader. That is true. That can be challenging. So that's part of the container as well, and how you're holding yourself. And also your connection to your true work. Mm-hmm. That will help. Your true work is going to be your North Star, of where you put your attention over and over again, so that you can check, where's my attention? So having your true work is going to be that beautiful aligning tool, we can say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Sheree writes, there's a fear of persecution from outside sources. Yeah. And this is something that we're all going to navigate as well. Just the other piece, and thanks for bringing this up, the other piece of there's this energetic around leadership of perfection and control and knowing everything and doing it right. Like, that energy is very strong. And there's also an underlying, we can say, fear of being too big, of being persecuted, of being killed. So a lot of us have memory, whether this is past life memory or collective unconscious or energies that are just floating around, regardless of where they come from. A lot of women, as we step more and more into our power, there can be backlash inside of ourselves of, I'm not allowed to be this powerful, or I'm going to get hurt if I show up. I'm going to get killed. So it can be So it may be not understandable of why you're having a big reaction to things. But what's happening is that an old resonance of times when we were burned as witches, when we were persecuted, thousands and thousands and thousands of years of women being seen as less than or being killed. Yeah, our witchy pasts. Okay, so understand that also may arise. It may not, but it's sometimes surprising where that also shows up. It can show up at any time as well. So to understand that, learning to be in relationship with yourself, that as a leader, is that you're going to be guiding and supporting yourself with your peers to unhook from the temptations of, I know exactly what I'm doing, I just have to fix everyone and then we'll be good, or control, or I'm completely in charge, I know exactly what's going to happen, or I can fix everyone, or I have to be perfect. Like, those hooks, and that we're like unhooking, letting go, going back to, why am I here? True work. And also the places where what starts arising is old fears. I can't, I'm going to get hurt. And those sometimes are really unnameable. And that's why it can be really helpful to talk those out and be in community, because we can then begin to step back and go, oh, right, this isn't even mine. This isn't my fear of this lifetime. This is an old fear. Yeah. Shell. So unconscious, but when I start paying attention to stories and symbols in our domestication, it's all there. Yeah, exactly. And then Crystal, especially if the work is disrupting, how does warrior goddess leadership align with disruption? Authentic compassion for self and others through the process, recognizing and providing space for naming and processing the feelings experienced through the disruption. This is part of what I'm learning being in warrior goddess training during a world pandemic. Yeah. As a good leader, I believe, and I don't even like using the word good or bad, but as an effective leader, you're going to be disrupting. You're going to be a catalyst. You're going to be creating discomfort. Yay! It's part of your job. It's part of the job description. Okay. So if you want to be a person in the world where you're always creating situations where people feel 100% safe and held and never challenged, this isn't the work for you, because you're going to challenge people. Okay. And again, next week, we're going to be talking about the idea of container, how to create safety so that people can feel unsafe, so that their vulnerabilities can come up, so that that feeling sense of discomfort is held so that it can be moved through. So yes, let's be good disruptors. And the more grounded you are in your true work, the more that you will understand the importance of holding, regardless of what other people are doing with it, in spite of, okay? And we'll keep talking about this as well. It's a big part of the container. Now, when I start working with Don Miguel, for years in my relationship with Don Miguel, I think we talked about this last time or at another call, that I was really uncomfortable around him and all my stuff was constantly coming up. I had resistance, I had fear, I had projection, I had feeling like I was disappointing him and the community, feeling like I wasn't enough. I mean, all this stuff. And it was just because he was holding love and I didn't know how to, I hadn't been in relationship to that before, to somebody that was loving regardless of what I did and holding steady. And all of that resistance and projection and discomfort was really important to catalyze me processing and digesting those old beliefs and agreements. And that's what we're doing, is we're helping to catalyze people's capacity to bring up and digest old agreements, old fears, old places of judgment, old places of victimization. And we must do that with ourselves. Learn how to hold steady with ourselves through our own discomfort. Your true work, which underlies all of this, is a word or a quality that you are here to embody this lifetime. So it's a lifetime practice. It's not something that you're going to figure out tomorrow or check off your list and go to the next thing. It's something that's so big and something that you feel passionate about, deeply passionate about, that it's going to be a lifetime exploration, experiment, journey to embody, to bring it into expression through your form. You can do your true work. How you know it's your true work is that you can do it everywhere. So you can do it while you're running a meeting, while you are picking up dog shit in the backyard, while you are consoling your child, while you are talking to the CEO of a company. Okay. What happens as we really hold our true work is that the places where we're like, this is more important and this is less important, start to dissolve. It's all important because it's all a place that you can practice. And this makes you an amazing leader because you've stopped divvying up and making parts of your life more important than others. Okay. Sometimes people that hang out with me are like, how can you like be washing dishes and scrubbing the sink and then walk and go do a class and there's no break? And it's because all of it's part of my true work. This is not more important than washing the dishes. Okay. And this is where we get where I've seen we get ourselves in trouble, is we start making this decision that people that have more likes, that have more people that are following them, that have more charisma are more important than other humans. Or that humans are more important than animals or trees or the wind. We're here to celebrate everything, loves, everything, to celebrate the magic and beauty, as well as the challenge and the shit. And when you know what your true work is, that's easy because all of it is practice. We'll do a visualization together to anchor in your true work. For those of you that have done this visualization before, just be open because it may have shifted. Sometimes the word of your true work shifts or the quality of it shifts, so you get more insight. And it's always, I think it's always good to just check, where am I? And your true work is like your life intent. So for those of you that have worked with me for a long time, you know that almost every class that I do, our first question is, what's your intent for this class? Your true work is your intent for your life. It's what you're here to do and embody this lifetime. And then there's going to be lots of other intents. Now, it may be once you find your true work, everything that you do, you're like, it's always my true work. That's always going to be my focus. Or it may be you have your true work and then there's all these different things that you're doing that have different intents that are all leading you towards your true work. Okay, so there's no right or wrong way. The last piece around this is that you're the only one that has to understand what your true work is and what your word is. So your word may be banana. And if you understand in your body and your being what banana means, yay! So we're not here to like, let me explain my true work so you can see that I know. It's for you. Only you have to get it. Other people will feel it. Other people will experience it. Okay, but this isn't about explaining, defending, preaching. It's about living it. And not living it and figuring out how to close the gap between those two. Yay! Okay, great. So let's do this visualization together and then we'll check in and see what you found. So closing your eyes, get comfortable. Yes, thank Hannah. Good reminder. I'll definitely talk about that as well. Good. So as you bring your attention inward, I'm going to do a visualization together. Put your hands in front of you and do this physically. So put your hands in front of you as if you're holding something. And imagine that in your hands is a little seed or a little pebble or a little crystal. Good. And as you're holding this little seed or crystal or pebble, let your being get quiet. Just get quiet inside. I like to imagine that at the depth of my being, there's a lake, and I'm going to let the lake get still. Imagining that you're letting yourself get empty and opening your intuition, opening into this moment to listen, to be present. Good. And you're going to blow into that little seed. So imagine and physically blow into the seed, your prayers, your presence. So blowing into that seed. And imagine then holding it up to the sun, asking the sun to bless this seed, this crystal, this little pebble. Imagine the sun streaming down on it. Good. And imagine that you can wash this seed or this pebble through water. So you can imagine a stream or a lake. So dipping it in, wash, blessing it with water. Good. And then imagine that you can put it on the earth. Ask the earth to bless that little seed or pebble. Good. Now that we've connected this with the elements of air and fire and water and earth, pick up that little seed or that little pebble. So imagine that you're grabbing it and physically grab it. Good. And you're going to bring it up above your head. And in a minute, you're going to drop it into the depth of your being with a question. And the question that we're asking this seed, this little pebble, this little crystal is, what is my true work? What's the word or the quality that's my true work? That's my offering. Okay. So in a moment, we're going to drop it. I want you to just wait and just be quiet. So don't think. So if your brain's like, let me figure it out, stop. Wait for it. Wait for it. And that this quality is something that you are here to embody through everything that you're doing. So taking that seed or little pebble or crystal and go ahead and drop it. Imagine that you're dropping it into your being. You're going to let it go all the way down through your being into that lake and then let it ripple out. Let the answer ripple out. What's my true work? What's the one word of my true work? Stay out of your head. Let that arise from the depths of your being. It may take a minute or two. What's my true work? What's the one quality, the energy that I'm here to embody and bring to myself and the world? And as that word arises, let yourself find the feeling sense in your body and just rest into the feeling sense of your true work. And notice as you're feeling into this, if there's any place that your brain starts to go, this is what I'm here to give. And I want you to redirect. You're bringing this to you first. Whatever the quality is, your true work is to bring that quality to you, to embody it, to feed and nourish yourself, and then to let that ripple out from your center. So feel that you're embodying and learning how to hold this quality and feed it to yourself, and then let it ripple out to others. Beautiful. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. And go ahead and share in the chat what the word arose. And some of you may not have gotten a word yet, or you may have several words. It's okay. Let it arise. Okay. Let it arise in its own time. So there's no wrong or right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Consciousness, compassion, voice, love, center, connection, self-love, radical self-love, patience, light, soil, celebration, calm, curiosity, inner peace, presence, hope and mercy, interconnectedness, radiance / stillness, growth, grounding. Good. There's a couple lights, there's a couple love, inclusion, beautiful, sacred, femininity energy, love, energy, belonging, peace. Great. Beautiful. Now, as women, where most of us go is immediately, how do I give this away? How do I create peace out there? How do I create, make sure people out there feel loved? How do I, and we go into service thinking that my job is to bring hope to other people. Okay. It's not your primary job. Your primary job is, how do I embody hope? How do I deepen into imagination? How do I honor my own transformation? Again, that we're bringing it here and letting it ripple out from our center so that we're an embodied expression of that energy. Okay. Now, you are not going to hit the mark most of the time, right? So if your word was, let's see, grounding, I'm just going to pick one. If your word's grounding and you feel you are grounded all of the time, you like, yay, pick another word. Because this isn't something that you've already mastered. It's something that you're striving for that is going to be work. Okay. So what happens is your words, let's say your words, curiosity. Yay. How do you embody curiosity in all things? And here's what's going to happen is you're going to find the feeling sense of curiosity. And then you're going to watch yourself not be in curiosity in all the millions of ways that you're not in curiosity, right? All the places that you're actually in judgment rather than curiosity, or punishment instead of curiosity, or feeling flattened instead of feeling curious. So then you get to watch and witness all the places that you're not embodying that quality, and that's your work. Yay! How do you close the gap? Okay. And that we're not doing this from, I'm going to get this perfect, but from, how fun. I am not feeling curious right now. Why? What's the agreement? What's the belief? How, what's in the way? Okay. Yeah. Same thing like with calm. What a great word, right? Then you get to see all the places you're anxious. You're trying to control everybody else. That your brain's on fire and not calm. Yay! And then the question is, what's my next little baby step towards creating more calm in relationship to my brain, or more calm in relationship to this anxiety around my finances and the fact I just bounced a check, or a feeling sense of calm in relationship to this really scary thing I have to do? Great questions. Kat, does our true work change throughout our lives? It can, and it might not. So for some of us, what word you came up on, that's going to be what you're going to be chewing on and digesting and figuring out from here until 20 lifetimes, this lifetime and the next 20, right? And for some of you, you may get a refinement. Like for, I don't know, years, like at least 5 or 6 years, my word was love. And then one day I checked in and it had shifted. And I was like, what? And I felt like my true work had shifted. I can't even remember what the word was. And I sat with that for about a year. And then it shifted again and it went back to love. All right. Beautiful. Eilish, I didn't get a word, but I saw an animal. Do I go with what animal symbolizes or what it means to me? Yeah, absolutely. So there's a message there with the animal. So what are the, what's the quality or your feeling sense in relationship to the animal? Call that in as a guide. Yeah. And again, some of you may not have gotten a word, or you may have gotten several words. Just be with it for the next week. And so here's what I recommend is that for the next week, try that word on. Okay. Or pick one. If you had five and you're like, I can't pick, I don't know which one. Pick one of them for this week. Next week, you can pick the other one. You know, you can pick another one, but pick one and just bring that in. And everything that you're doing, you're drinking tea. How do I bring more calm into drinking tea? You are on the phone arguing with someone because your cell phone bill is way over and it's, you know, it's not your charge. How do you hold calm? Okay, so there, what gets built in here, which is so beautiful, is figuring out what does that even mean? What does it mean to be calm? And can you be calm and yelling? Like, we have to then break apart our idea of what that actually means. So in my example, like, I had this idea when I first started working with the idea of love. My idea of love was, oh, it's always beautiful and wonderful. And actually, love is hard. Like, there's boundaries, like how to do boundaries for how to do hard things from love. And that's what I started going, oh, it's not like I'm in this beatific loving state all the time. It's how do I bring love when I'm doing something I really hate? How do I bring love to it? Okay. That's where the work is. Mm-hmm. Elaine, mine was peace for a while and now it's more inner peace. So you've refined it. Yeah. Yeah. And we have to be careful of the place where, you know, like peace, a beautiful one. And we can start finding ourselves saying they should be peaceful, right? Your true work is nobody else's true work. You're not like, now I need to create peace out there by controlling everyone to make them peaceful or judging them because they're not peers. This is not permission to start judging everybody else because they're not living your true work. Yay! Okay, it's how do I find peace when I really hate what somebody else is doing? Or I'm really distraught by what's happening in the environment? Or I'm seeing racism happening in front of me and I want to take action. How do I bring peace into my action? Okay, so this isn't also permission to not take action. It's how do you take action with that quality? Cheryl, I'm quite embarrassed to share my word. Thanks for sharing it. I love that. Feeling like it will be wrong to choose it, but it has come so strong. It's divinity, as in everything is precious and sacred and part of the divine. Beautiful, including you, right? So divinity is a beautiful word. How do you bring the feeling sense also that you are divine and part of the divine pattern, that you're not separate from the divine pattern? It is really beautiful. And we have to include ourselves. We must include ourselves. So other questions or shares? Other like, I don't understand my word, or how do we do this? Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. Thanks for, I was, you know, any time, my loves, that you're like, this is a dumb question, or this feels vulnerable, or I don't know. Those are the best questions or the best shares. Okay, because somebody else has something similar and it helps us to go deeper with each other. So can't do it wrong. It may take time to come up with what you are like, oh, that's my true work. And any questions or any shares? And we're going to put you into groups in a minute. Great. Cherie, I feel it, but I don't have a word. That's okay. Go for the feeling sense. Hold the feeling sense. And the word will probably bubble up at some point. Mm-hmm. Michelle, my word feels linked to a previous insight that kept telling me to spiritualize your career. Mm-hmm. So again, live whatever the word that arose, live it for this week and be willing to refine it and just be curious, how does this feel? And you wake up in the morning, you're boiling water. How do you bring your word in? How do you bring your true work in? You are, go and pee. You're having an argument with your beloved. You're going to the doctor. We want to stabilize bringing that quality and bringing it, returning. And as always, because what you're doing is setting a big intent right now, you're going to start seeing all the places you're not living your true work. So don't beat yourself up. Just be like, and there's me being conditional in my loving. Okay. That was my experience when I was started working with this. I'm like, and there I'm conditional again with myself, or I'm being conditional to that person. And then it was a deep dive into what is love? What does that mean to me? What's true, the trueness of love versus my Disney idea of love. And you're going to get to find that in all things as well. Okay. And the places then you're expecting other people to be doing your true work. Oops, stop that. Daniela, wow, that's so interesting. Since I never really thought about what light in all aspects of life looks like. Yes, yeah. So this is, again, these are things that we chew on for our life. This isn't something that you're going to necessarily answer tomorrow. These are good life questions. Mm-hmm. Angela, I already am slow moving, so stillness seems anticlimactic. And so this is the fun. Like, how do you bring stillness into play, into being excited? So it doesn't mean, yeah, energetic stillness, exactly. It doesn't mean flat. What is stillness for you? What does that mean for you? And where are the places that your brain is like, those things don't go together? That's the fun place to sit with them. Great. I love that. I feel that my word has nothing to do with service to the world. Good. Good. Because, and why I say good is this, because I know that you are in deep service to the world and that there's a reset of what that looks like that's probably happening in your being right now. And we don't, here's the truth, my loves, we don't really know what the world needs, do we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't really know what the world needs right now. And so our old ideas of service and what that looks like, we got to let those go and break those apart. And know that when we come land in our being and open, the service may look very different than what we thought. And it's really important. And I believe that as we open, as we drop into our true work, and as we open, we get clearer about where we actually can fully be in service to ourselves and to others. And again, we start breaking apart the old ways of thinking of this is what service means. I was once in a restaurant and was with a group of Toltec people, and we were all learning how to be teachers, and we all had, I don't know, there's all sorts of stuff going on at that time. And I remember I was walking past a table. We were in a restaurant. We were exiting, and I was walking past the table, and somebody turned to me and said, "Hey, will you hand me the napkin?" And they thought I was a waitress. And I was like, "Okay." And I turned and found the napkin and turned and handed it to them and walked on. And somebody that I was with was like, "Oh my God, I would have been so pissed if they had seen me as a waitress. Like, how terrible is that? And I was like, why would that be terrible? If you have an idea that you're supposed to be a powerful person and everybody's supposed to know how fucking powerful you are, yeah, that might be a drag. But if you're a human in service and you've got the spaciousness in that moment to bring love into that handing of the napkin, that's beauty. And it doesn't mean you have to. Okay. There's a whole piece of the teaching that we'll talk about, but one of the biggest transformations I had was around not picking up garbage and what I had to do to shift myself. Because anytime I saw garbage anywhere, I would go into rage around humans and how horrible humans were and how we're degrading our planet. And I had a lot of upset around that. And I felt like the only way in service was to judge the humans that were being bad and to pick up after them, fuckers, right? So what's the energy that I'm putting into the world is anger, frustration, and that I am the one that's going to pick up and fix everything. And I had to sit with myself for years to get to a place where I could be like, garbage. To get to choice so that I could feel into pick up the garbage or leave the garbage. And that sounds like a simple thing, but that's everything around leadership, because what that allows you to do, whatever that piece is for you, is to feel into a situation and say, this is my place to be in service. This is not my place to be in service. This is the place to wait. This is a place to step in. We've got to get that in our bodies. And there's all sorts of places that the world teaches us that in unexpected ways. So I hope that helps. And we're going to put you into groups to help you explore and deepen with each other. Yeah, exactly, Kat. Sometimes we don't have to do anything to be in service to the world. I completely agree. And sometimes there is action and sometimes there's not. It's ascertaining where's the action and where's the non-action, and getting to the place that they're both beautiful and they're both important. Crystal, in addition to thinking you were a waitress, may have resonated with your energetic willingness to help serve. People always think I work in stores. Yeah, same here. I can't, like, how many times I've been in Home Depot or the grocery store. Yeah. Friend, we're just friendly. If I'm not busy being invisible, because that is also a skill set that I'm really, really good at. Nobody sees me. All right, loves. So, Serena, can we put people into threes? Have you already paired them? Can we put them into threes? So what I'd like you to do is you have a half hour with each other, which means 10 minutes each, which is a lot of time. And in your time with each other, you can break it up how you want to, but make sure everybody has a chunk of time. Everybody has equal about 10 minutes. And in your time with each other, share a little bit about why you're here. What are you here to learn about leadership, or what brought you here? Share that with your partner. What's your true work? What did you come up with? And if you want, if you have the spaciousness, what your fears are, what your excitement is. Okay, so there's four pieces. You can do one or all four. Again, name why you're here is one part. What your true work is, as far as you've gotten so far, what your fears are, what your excitement is. All right, have fun with each other. Listen. So however you break the time up, make sure that one person's sharing, and the person that's sharing, show up, be vulnerable, be here, and be yourself. And the people that are witnessing, hold space with love for this human. Get curious about them. Okay, let them share. Do your best to not cross talk. So it's sometimes really tempting. Oh my God, I'm also a nurse. Let's talk about nursing. Refrain. Like, you can, like, yay. And then where are we going? You're going to have time with each other later on as well. Okay. And if you have a a connection with someone, follow up with them. All right, babes. Thanks, Serena. Serena's going to be hosting the next piece of the shares.